Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is November 8th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Today's episode is going to be my preview of the game between the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers. So to start it off, after a really slow-paced defensive win against the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, who are 5-4, will head to the historic Lambeau Field to face the Green Bay Packers, who are 3-4-1. The Dolphins stopped their downward spiral by beating the Jets after losing their two previous games before that. Miami showcased a strong defense, intercepting rookie quarterback Sam Darnold 4 times. Prior to that, the Dolphins' defense had been a bit of a concern. They gave up 248 rushing yards to the Detroit Lions and then 5 passing touchdowns to the Houston Texans. So this will be an opportunity for the defense to prove which team they really are. Right now, the Miami Dolphins defense ranks 26 in total yards allowed per game, 22 in passing yards allowed, and 28 in rushing yards allowed per game. The Dolphins, again, they lead the NFL in interceptions with 15, but the defense is also still very vulnerable to the big play. In fact, they've given up the second most passing plays of 40 plus yards and the second most rushing plays of 20 plus yards. So yeah, with that being said, giving up the big play has been a real problem. So the Dolphins offense has been mediocre at best. Since Osweiler took over, the team has shown ups and downs. Their brightest performance with Osweiler came in his first start against the Chicago Bears, where he had 380 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Now things have really changed dramatically since then, as Miami has struggled badly offensively. In fact, in their last game, Miami only got 168 total yards and were not able to score an offensive touchdown. How do the Miami Dolphins rank offensively in this league? Well, they are 28 in total yards per game, 26 in passing yards per game, and 21st in rushing yards per game. Only one team has scored fewer rushing touchdowns than the Miami Dolphins this season. Now, time to take a look at the opponent. Let's take a look at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, again, have been frustratingly disappointing this season. But as a certain someone said, relax. And frankly, that someone who said that is the reason you can never count this team out. The Packers have lost their last 2 games, but in their defense, the games were against the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. But their only dominating win this season came against the Buffalo Bills, which is frankly like beating your own practice squad. They beat the Chicago Bears thanks to that monumental comeback from Aaron Rodgers, but before that, it was a game where they were getting absolutely destroyed. And then they squeezed in a 3-point win against a CJ Beathard-led 49ers team, and that required 425 passing yards from Aaron Rodgers. So while I do recognize the greatness and the brilliance from Mr. Aaron Rodgers, I also recognize that the prestige of this historically great team does not mean that they are the most challenging of matchups in 2018. So offensively, how do the Packers stack up? Well, offensively, the Packers offense is led by their running back Aaron. Just kidding. Of course, the Packers are led offensively by none other than Aaron Rodgers. So how is Aaron Rodgers doing this season? Well, he's still, frankly, pretty great. Probably one of the best, if not the best. But so far, this season hasn't been his personal best. But once again, that's an unrealistic standard that to any quarterback. He's still outperforming basically the entire league. Right now, he has 2,542 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And his completion percentage so far this season is actually the lowest of his career with 60.6 since he became a starter. And he is currently on pace to throw for a personal high in attempts in a single season. So the Packers are demanding an awful lot from Aaron Rodgers this season. The running game is led by Aaron Jones. And since returning to his starting role in week 3, Jones has been nothing shy of effective this season. He currently leads the NFL in yards per carry among starting running backs with 6 yards per carry. He has not recorded a single 100-yard game this season, but has amassed over 75 rushing yards in the past 2 games, and both of those were under 15 carries. He has been used almost exclusively on the ground, but could see more volume in the passing game with the trade of Ty Montgomery. And for those not really familiar with Aaron Jones, I would compare his style a lot to Devontae Freeman, and I don't really mean that lightly. When he initially took over the role in 2017, it was clear he was the best runner on this team. He's a small, shifty player that can hit that next gear. And frankly, those are the backs that Miami has struggled with. You look at Tariq Cohen, you look at James White, and you look at Deion Lewis, all had pretty good success against this Miami defense. Now, the other running back on this team is Jamal Williams, who will also see some carries, and I think he will likely be the primary pass catcher among these running backs again, since Ty Montgomery was traded for absolutely nothing to the Ravens. So the Packers also have a very strong offensive line, consisting of Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari, who is likely the best offensive tackle in the NFL. So they will be getting some good protection along the edges, same thing with runs to the outside. The receiving duties of the Packers will be split among several receivers, as typical with the Packers. The last time these two teams faced off, Jordy Nelson had 107 yards receiving, but there was a rookie on that team that had 6 catches for 77 yards in that game too. It was their now wide receiver one, Davante Adams. Adams has emerged as one of the elite receivers in this league, and he is typically undervalued due to the fact that many attribute his success to his quarterback. And does having the best quarterback in the league help you tremendously? Well, of course, but I also personally think that Adams deserves some of his own recognition. This season, Adams ranks number 11 in receiving yards with 730 and is tied for second in receiving touchdowns with 7. The number 2 receiver in this game will not be Randall Cobb, despite the fact that, yes, he is still in fact on the roster. It will actually be rookie receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who has taken over the role with his athleticism and the fact that Geronimo Allison has been placed on the injured reserve. Over the last 4 games, MVS has 317 yards and 2 touchdowns. After a 101-yard performance on primetime, critics and fans have both hopped on the hype train. Valdez-Scantling stands at 6'4" and would be a tremendous mismatch if lined up against 5'9" Bobby McCain. Valdez-Scantling also ran a 4.3 40-yard dash. So it's really easy to see why he'd be a deadly weapon in this offense. And then there is Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb has really devolved into solely a possession receiver. His massive 142-yard performance is the lone bright spot in his season so far. His next highest receiving game was 40 yards. But like I said, he won't get you much after the catch, but he can find those tight windows. He knows where the gaps are in the defense. And of course, him and Aaron Rodgers have years and years of chemistry built. Now, tight end Jimmy Graham has been thriving. He's having a solid season so far as a Packer. He ranks number 7 among tight ends in receiving yards with 425. However, his low number of touchdowns, which is 2, is not something that the NFL fans are accustomed to seeing with Graham. As long as Rodgers is his quarterback, though, it will always be possible for him to have a big game and push that number up. Now, we take a look at the Packers' defense. The Packers' defense ranks 16 in total yards allowed per game. They rank 10th in passing, but fall to 22 in rushing yards allowed. The Packers' defense does not force many interceptions. They don't force many fumbles. They are near the bottom on the list on forcing turnovers, but they boast an impressive opponent completion percentage, and they rank number 6 in the NFL in sacks. Linebacker Blake Martinez has become the powerhouse on this Green Bay defense. He leads the team in tackles with 70 and sacks with 4. In the third quarter of the Packers matchup with the New England Patriots, though, he suffered a high left ankle sprain and was carted off the field. He has been limited in practice, and it's unsure whether he will play at this moment. His absence again would be huge. Now, rookie quarterback Jair Alexander has also been dominant this season. Pro Football Focus has Alexander ranked as the top rookie cornerback, and in fact, actually the number 10 cornerback in the entire NFL. He has allowed a mere 54.7 passer rating when targeted. Now, the Packers traded arguably their best defensive player, HaHa Clinton Dix, to the Washington Redskins. Cornerback Tremont Williams ended up taking over the position, and in his first game as a safety, he gave up a huge 55-yard touchdown reception to Josh Gordon on a missed tackle. So, you know, there's that. Maybe he could be someone to exploit Again, it's only been one game, but that's something to take a look at. Now, here are my expectations for this matchup. The first one is that Davante Adams gets the upper hand in the matchup versus Xavien Howard. The Dolphins have only faced two truly elite receivers, and that's AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins. Now, Adams isn't quite on that level, but he's darn close. While Howard has looked great all season, he has not been able to shut out an elite receiver for an entire game. Green finished his game with 112 yards, and then Hopkins, as we all saw, finished his game with 82 yards and 2 touchdowns. With Adams already having 3 games of over 130 yards this season, and Rodgers' ability to place a perfect ball, even when you're blanketed, it's hard for me to say that he gets shut down in this game. My next expectation is that Aaron Jones has over 120 total yards. Personally, I've always been a fan and impressed at what Jones can do. His ability, I think, is tremendous. All season, Miami has struggled shutting down the running back position. Let's just take a look at how some guys have done against the Dolphins. We start off with Deion Lewis. He had 110 total yards. Then we go to the Patriots. Sony Michel had 112 total yards, and his teammate James White had another 112 total yards. We move to Joe Mixon. He had 115 total yards. Tariq Cohen had a big day, 121. Kerryon Johnson had 179, and then Lamar Miller had 133. The only games where there hasn't been an effective running back have been against the New York Jets and against the Oakland Raiders, who are both teams that don't have really much of a strong running game. And then we move on to my last expectation, and it is that Kenyon Drake has a big game. Now, after all my talk about bashing Miami's inability to stop the run, I can say the same for the Packers. The Packers have really struggled at stopping the run as well, and at some point, Drake is just going to be too effective to be off the field. Or he's going to be too effective to say, hey, yeah, let's give those carries to Gore. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's in this game. Now, my keys to the victory, the first one is to slow down the pace of the game and extend the time of possession. And why? Well, it's simple. I think a Brock Osweiler-led offense can't outscore an Aaron Rodgers-led offense if it got to a shootout. It wouldn't even really be close. The Dolphins cannot afford to be going 3 and out or giving up turnovers because it will put the team in a hole that the offense can't climb out of. And then my next key is to limit Davante Adams and then put Minkah Fitzpatrick on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. As I said with Hopkins and Green, completely shutting out the wide receiver one is demanding too much of Xavien Howard. All we need is for Howard to limit him, keep him under 80 yards, and I think we will be okay. And then for MVS, he's a big guy. He's got burners. We saw McCain get burned by the Lions and the Texans. I would not want to see him lined up against Valdes-Scantling on a fly route, put Minkah on him, and then keep both of those receivers under 200 yards total, and I like our chances. The next key to victory is don't let the running backs have a huge day. Like the Lions and the Texans did, the Packers will gladly give their quarterbacks a relaxed day if they can keep it on the ground. If the Packers have over 150 yards rushing with their running backs, I can't see the team winning this game. And then the last one is have an effective running game. The only way I can see Osweiler being truly productive is if there's a balanced rushing attack. The Packers have not been able to stop the run. If at any point in this game, Miami's offense becomes one-dimensional, I think it will signal that it will be a bad result for the team. And those are my keys to the victory of the game between the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers. So let me know what you guys think about that. I would love to hear your comments on those. Again, I always take pride in being someone who is open-minded and willing to discuss different opinions. I will never, be arrogant or bash someone or call them an idiot for having a different opinion in sports than me. And then last week, I began doing my predictions week by week for every team around the NFL, and I wasn't able to do the Thursday night game because I started too late. Well, for this Thursday night game, it's going to be the Carolina Panthers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to choose the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one, and that is because while I think that the Carolina Panthers offense has been running and they've been connecting on all cylinders, Cam Newton's been looking great but hasn't put up huge numbers. They run heavily through Christian McCaffrey, and I think the Steelers have been doing a pretty good job as of late at stopping the run. I think if they can lock down Christian McCaffrey, there aren't really too many alternatives to worry about on this Carolina Panthers offense. I don't think Devin Funches is that much of a weapon to have as your wide receiver one. I think he is a guy who can be managed. I do expect DJ Moore to be more involved in this game than he was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Curtis Samuel had a big game. Some of those plays were kind of fluky from a fantasy perspective. I wouldn't really bet on that happening again, but you never know. When you have that much speed, it could happen. But like I said, the Steelers, they just have so many weapons offensively that I don't know how you can stop them. Antonio Brown always shows out in primetime or when it's a nationally televised game. So I expect a touchdown from Antonio Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster's the same way. That guy loves the limelight. And then what can stop James Conner? Like, really, nothing has been able to stop him. I thought he was going to have a bad day against the Ravens. It didn't happen. There is just no game now on this schedule that I could say with confidence that James Conner is going to be shut down. If the Panthers can do it, then they will have a chance. But until a team can manage James Conner, I wouldn't bet against the Steelers right now. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, share, comment, like. I really appreciate all the help that you guys do and all the views. It really does mean a lot. You can always follow me again at Shady Steven on Twitter, at Via The Source. And until next time, guys, that's how I'm going to wrap it up. I'm Steven Amasso, and this was Via The Source.